Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather once again. Thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it is truth. Not just true, it is, but it's all truth. And Lord, as we open a psalm this morning, the most severe, imprecatory psalm in the scriptures, Lord, help us to glean from this what you would have for us to receive. So we give this time to you, Lord, and ask that you would lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 109, as we are moving on through, as you know, and we've had just a variety of them. And we get to one today, which is a very interesting one. It's called a messianic psalm because we see Jesus on the cross in this psalm. However, most of this psalm is so far from Jesus in terms of him saying on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, which is where we should be in our thoughts of our enemies. But I think we have a psalm today which is really kind of a mirror of what they will face from God in judgment. And it's regarding accusers. Accusers is used about four times in this psalm. One of the words, amazingly, in verse 6 is the word Satan. They just call it Satan with a little S. But he certainly is the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And so he's behind all these accusers. So David now is writing this psalm, basically, in my opinion, about his accusers. And, you know, he had a lot of enemies. Remember how Saul chased him around all over the place for years? And so he's writing for God to take care of his enemies. It's kind of interesting that this is dedicated to the chief musician, means that this psalm would have been sung or read in front of the whole assembly. This is not a private in your closet psalm, although you think it would be, really, because it's pretty severe. And I guess my thought of it was, well, I was thinking of what is the evil going on right now that I hate the most? And, you know, pick one of 100, right? But, you know, almost the thing that I just can't quite get over is kidnapping young girls and addicting them to heroin and then putting them into the slave sex market. I can't think of much worse than that. I mean, there's all the kinds of things. So what is my feeling towards those people who are doing that? Now, I come pretty close to this psalm, really. But I don't think we want to stay there. I think we will see the mercy of God coming through all of this. And but we just listen to see what the Lord says. And he begins by saying, O God, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful. Now he goes on and then he says, and I will give myself to prayer, or I will call upon the Lord. So I thought we would just start with this praise song, call upon the Lord, and just kind of let this... We want to call on him this morning, even in the imprecatory aspect of this psalm, we want to call on him. So let's sing along. The notes are, or the words are on your sheet there, I believe.
We need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. You promise never to forsake what you began, you will sustain. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. Yeah.
I will call upon the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He alone is worthy to save or can save. He will save those who come to him. So Psalm 109, do not keep silent, O God, my praise. We'll have praise given to us, I think, three times in this psalm. And so we'll close with a praise song. But before we get to the praising here, we are asking him to do some things. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Lying tongues. I can't quite believe today yet the shamelessness of people just openly looking into the camera and telling the big whoppers, one after the other after the other. But here is what was going on 3,000 years ago. They were wicked. They were deceitful. They have spoken with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred. Think of this phrase, the hate crime. Can you imagine something more ridiculous than a hate crime? I mean, we all hate. And what does the Bible say? We're to hate the things God hates, right? We're to love the things he loves, but we're to hate the things he hates. And I think in this psalm today, we have a great portrayal of the things he hates, because I think we're being told here how he will come against all of that wickedness that's out there, or at least a way he's going to come against it, and he's going to take care of it. We can't, but he will, and he's going to. They also have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Amen. We got that all around us. In return for my love, they are my accusers. Now, we're going to use that term four times, my accusers. So this is what this psalm is about. It's against the accusers, basically, of God. All satanic, led and backed, in my opinion. But, listen to this, but in return, against my accusers, what's he going to do? I give myself to prayer. We all say amen, but do we? Do we really pray for the evil ones? We are to pray for our leaders. We see there in Timothy, pray for all our kings and all those who are in authority. And most of those are evil, wicked people, most of them in the world. But we're to pray for them. But I give myself to prayer, verse 5. Thus they have rewarded me, what? Evil for good. Evil for good. What are we to do? Offer good for evil. So how does that describe your activities as far as returning for all the evil that's around us? And we're not to be overcome by that, but we're to overcome evil with good, right? And hatred for my love. Now we're going to use the word let 27 times in this psalm. But it does speak of David not taking matters into his own hands. I think that's a great point in this psalm. But he's saying, let God do it. Let God do it. So when you find your temperature rising out of being upset, remember the word let. Let God do it. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser. Now here's where that word in the original really is Satan. Let Satan stand at his right hand, but it's not capitalized. It's just a noun as an accuser. Satan is an accuser. Stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty and let his prayer become sin. Ooh, that's not too nice a prayer to offer for somebody. Let their prayer become sin, right? Probably accurate, but let their prayer become sin. Let his days be few, woo, and let another take his office. Now, this was given to us by Peter, the Spirit, I think, speaking through Peter, in Acts chapter 1, after Judas killed himself. Peter led the 11 apostles in calling for another replacement, and they quoted this verse. He quotes this verse in Acts chapter 1. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. But now he goes on, these are pretty harsh. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from desolate places. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Here's a beggar. So where do you put the beggar? In a place where there's nothing. Desolate place. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him. Now we'll have mercy four times in here, I think. Let there be none to extend mercy to him. Wow, that's a heavy one. Nor let there be any favor, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Wow, this is pretty heavy. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. Think about your prayer and my prayer. Oh, Lord, don't remember my iniquity. Forget it. And of course, he says it's already done. Jesus already did it. But that's a believer. That's not the wicked here, is it? So he's saying, don't let those sins be blotted out. Remember those, Lord. Do you ever think of all the hideous things that are going on, and you think you've got to remind the Lord of what's going on? And you got to go into some detail because maybe the Lord doesn't know? That's probably amazing that my mind goes there. My flesh wants to go there. But it's totally ridiculous. He knows everything. He knows everything that I'm going to see, say, or whatever. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Oh, now we're even getting into mama. In the original, the term there, mother means mama. So mama is kind of a, really, mama's sins. Remember my mama's sins. I don't think so. Let them be continually before the Lord. Let these sins of my mama be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy. Oh, I'm so thankful we don't have to depend on our Lord to remember to show mercy, because he is mercy, isn't he? He is merciful. That's who he is. He cannot be unmerciful to his own. He even shows mercy to the wicked, but they're so far gone that his mercy doesn't cover all of their wickedness generally. But persecute the poor and needy man, that he may even slay the broken in heart. Verse 17, kind of a law of sowing and reaping here. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. We kind of have that in the model prayer, don't we? We're to forgive those who come against us the same way. Forgive those, show mercy to those who come against us. Just the way we do that, we will be forgiven. He loved cursing, so let it not come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment. Have you ever been around anybody, about every other word out of their mouth is a curse word? They've just clothed themselves with that. That's who they are. They clothe themselves with cursing. So let it enter his body like water, ooh, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and as for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers. I think that's a pretty good phrase to define this psalm, really. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers, right? Can you remember to do that? When people come against you, let the Lord remember it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, the Lord says. And when you think of that just a little bit, he is the only one with enough wisdom and knowledge to know how much vengeance to apply. Right. You and I get mad, we're going to apply 100 times the amount of vengeance that's required, probably, right? Because we get it all out of ourselves. Not the Lord. He will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers and to those who speak evil against my person. There's another evil in here. But you, O God, the Lord, you, O Elohim, actually you, Yahweh, the Elohim, deal with me for your name's sake. I love that. Deal with me for your name's sake. I hope we're praying here today for his name's sake, really. Everything is for his name's sake, isn't it? His mercy to you and to others should be for his name's sake, right? For his name's sake, because your mercy is good. Oh, how true that is. The Lord's mercy is good. And then he says, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. When do shadows lengthen? Well, they lengthen at the end of the day. So he says, I'm fading away. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. Now, this next word is just about Christ on the cross, I believe. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their head. You know, we have that in Matthew. We have that in Psalm 22, where they look at me and they shake their lip. Here they shake their heads. And he's become a reproach. So when we see all of the wicked that any accusers have ever done, the most hideous wickedness was what the world gave to our Savior, right? So that is the epitome of wickedness, is man's wickedness against crucifying our Lord. I have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God. Help me, Yahweh, my Elohim. O save me according to what? Your mercy. So there's a good prayer for us. Help me, O Lord. O save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. So 26, 27, great. Now back to let's again. 28, let them curse you. No, let them curse, but you bless. Wow. Do you ever pray that? Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed. Yeah, I like that. But let your servant rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the fact that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory? We've already won. Don't think you got to fight the war to win it. It's already won. Try to win your battle. You'll lose some of them, but you'll never lose the war because it's won. It's been won for you. You're his. We are owned by the victor. Verse 29, let my accusers, again accuser, fourth, fifth time in this psalm, be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. It's amazing, though, when you go through these verses, how it makes your mind think about some of these things, doesn't it? And now he closes on a high note. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Anybody disagree with that? Are you doing it? Well, if you take the greatly out of it, I would probably say, yeah, I'm doing that fairly well, but am I greatly praising him? It's like everything else. We went through the book of James recently in one of the studies, and we all agreed with everything in there, and we're all doing everything that's in there to a point. But we're never doing it to the standard that is being laid out for us, right? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Anybody doing that? I don't think so. But that's where we want to aspire to. That's the bar we want to reach. We'll never get there in these bodies, I don't think, but we're going to be closer if that's what we're looking for than just be a better husband than your neighbor Joe or something like that, right? I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, that's who he is, to save him from those who condemn him. So spend a little time on this psalm and just ask the Lord, what does it mean to you and how does it affect your behavior? How does it affect how you feel about the evil you see around and about what you're going to do about that evil? Because for the most part, you just pray and let the Lord. But we can show up, can't we? We can show up against evil. We can stand for what is good. And you say, well, it won't do any good. I hope to go up to Sacramento on Monday. Hillary, great name for a hurricane, isn't it? But the worst part is supposed to be coming home. But those who are going to be here Monday night for the class, we're going to be here if the Lord wills. If it turns out midday or whatever that the flights are canceled or whatever, I'll just stay up there and do it by Zoom, okay? So whether I get you an email in time or not, but the Lord will guide you. The Lord will guide you. I mean, if it's 6 inches an hour rain, you're not going to come here anyway. So, but he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. We were up there a year ago, and there were 16 people on that committee for that was that horrible murder bill of AB 2223. And there were, of the 16, there were 12 Democrats. And we thought at least maybe one or two of them would vote for life. All 12 of them voted for murder, for death. So that'll probably be the same with some of these egregious bills that are being sponsored right now. But we need to stand against that. And if we stand enough of us enough times, it's a powerful thing. And God uses that, doesn't it? Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Or think of, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they would not bow down like the rest of the world was bowing down. The rest of the world leaders were bowing down and they would not refuse to bow down. And so what happened? God used that one thing to show all the world leaders that he was God. Isn't that amazing? Because they threw him in seven times hotter than a fire and then he walks out and they're all go, wow! And then, of course, we have a Gentile king at that time. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it? And he made a proclamation to all the world. There is one God, one true God. That's the God of Daniel, or the God of Daniel and these two guys. And the same thing then happened with Daniel in the lion's den, right? He refused not to go along with the decree, not to pray to anybody but the king. That was Darius, the new king. So he gets thrown in the lion's den. How many of you would do that? I mean, I don't show up at times just because I don't want to be, if somebody looked cross at me. Are you kidding me? Talk about going to the lion's den for a night. That's a little bit heavier, isn't it? But we want to stand for what is right, and God will bless that, won't he? Well, let's go to prayer. We've got a little time this morning and to pray as just led by the Spirit, and let's wait on him as we need to and just respond as he leads us in this time of prayer. So whatever he puts on your heart, you know it's from him. Let's pray. I thank you for this army that meets here every Saturday morning and just a few of us in a way and yet so powerful as we all go separate directions, so to speak, pretty much anyway, and all have those opportunities that you provide for us each day. Help us just to have one thing in mind, and that is to do your will. Every decision that we make, is that your will, Lord? I want to do your will. Not mine. My flesh is always wrong, but you're always right. And Lord, so I just pray for effectiveness. And as Doug has said, this just church, I just pray for such a fruitfulness that would develop from that. And those 18,300 seats or whatever's in the pond there, I don't know, but something like that, each one would be just a source of light to go out. And we do need to assemble ourselves together. Yes, we can worship alone, but nobody worshiping alone has the same power spiritually as in a group. And Lord, we need to be together, alone as well, but together too. You have said, join together. And so, Lord, I just pray. I pray for this fellowship right here. The word is faithfully being taught, but rather than two services well attended, we only have one. And so, Lord, the facility could hold three. And so, Lord, so many churches like that with parking lots half empty or more or whatever. And, Lord, what does it take? Well, it takes just terrible things to happen, and we don't want that to happen. We had them filled up for a month or two after 9/11. Everybody poured out. And I think of the World War II during the bombing of London with King George there proclaiming 7 days of prayer, and every one of those days of prayer was so powerful, changing the whole course of Hitler's planning and storms coming up, overturning barges and just unbelievable things. And there was not a bar, there was nobody in any pubs, they were all praying. And so, but once victory came, and now we've seen in the 75 years or so since World War II, that England is so far away, and sending missionaries to them rather than send missionaries out. And of course, that seems like that's the same way the United States is going. We are basking in our plenty, and as always happens in the book of Judges, when you prospered the nation, they started to worship the blessings rather than you, forgot all about you, and took the credit for themselves. So, Lord, you know all of these things. But I pray that you'd keep us sharp in the remaining hours or days we have left, and we wouldn't lose any of them, Lord. And so, Lord, you know what the needs are here. I do pray for physical healing today. In so many cases, we all have one or two or five or half a dozen or more who don't, some of them know the Lord, some of them don't, that need a healing touch. The ones that are unbelievers, we really pray for them. The believer, we know where they're going, whether and whenever you take them, we know it's the right time. But we shudder to think that the unbeliever is going to close their eyes here in this body against you, Lord, because we know what the result of that will be. So we lift up all of those today in our circle of acquaintances or awareness that are don't seem to be yours. They don't seem to be separated from the world and separated to you. We see no fruit in their life from resulting of walking with you, and that's a precarious place to be. And we pray that they would turn, that they would repent, even as we pray now. They would just be overwhelmed with that spiritual tug and that spiritual check, and they would cry out, even as the thief on the cross would cry out, Lord, remember me! Lord, remember me! And you said, today, today, you will be with me in paradise. So, Lord, I pray for that right now. Into the hundreds, into the thousands, Lord. Whatever that means, I don't know. You know, Lord. Well, help us to stand for you, Lord. Help us to stand strong for you, Lord. And help us to be willing to do whatever you have for us to do out of our love for you and our love for one another, Lord. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Let's close with this song, God So Loved the World. We see here what his heart is for all these accusers, and he's so merciful, he still would want them to be saved. So God so loved the world. Let's stand and sing this. Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste
cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you in heaven, or see you here next week, or somewhere in between.